Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We're going to do 10 trades here on this Thursday. So, yeah, probably past your trade deadline, but I think it's a good idea to think about some value stuff as well. So, not going to be a ton of volume in the database, but I do think there's some leagues that are still open, and it still keeps our mind fresh when we get to the off-season portion of the trading calendar, right? So we'll be starting back up with some off-season content, and trading will be one of the big things that takes off. So we'll dive into 10 trades here just to get ourselves an idea of kind of where we're at. And the first one here, we've got Allen Robinson for Mike White. I think this almost entirely comes down to what you think about Mike White, right? Robinson's played pretty poorly for two straight years. I'd feel a little bit skeptical about Mike White long term, but the fact that these two guys are traded for each other is not entirely a surprise. I kind of wonder what an Allen Robinson bounce back would look like. What is a good Allen Robinson season basically after the past two seasons? And I don't think that Mike White's probably the answer. And I most certainly don't think he's the answer, but long term. But he's probably got more outs to be fantasy viable at this point than Allen Robinson does, as crazy as that may sound. By way of reference here, I'm just looking up at Keep Trade Cut. They have him at quarterback quarterback 38, 230 overall. I want the answer to this question to be Allen Robinson. I do. But he's 254 overall and wide receiver 88. So again, this is like a 20th round type deal. I think I would take Mike White because I think, again, premium position at least. And I don't think he's a premium player, but is there outs? I've seen some major media folks talking about they think he could win this job from this, through this year, through into next year. And if that's the case, he's probably a useful asset. And it feels kind of like with Allen Robinson, you're catching a sinking or a falling knife. So I would take Mike White here, even though I don't really feel good about either side of it. All right, next up, you got Deebo Samuel for Jerick McKinnon, DJ Shark, Chris Moore, and a 2023 second. This one's interesting because the person getting Deebo Samuel is almost certainly rebuilding. The person trading away McKinnon, Chark, and Moore is almost certainly, the person getting that side is contending, and they're also getting a second to go along with it. I think this matters about what you think about Deebo long term. Do you view him as a elite wide receiver asset, or do you view him as something less than that, right? Do you view him as a player that blends in? Because right now over at Keep Trade Cut, he's wide receiver 20. And you start thinking about that, and it's like, okay, well, you have a guy who's 26. And let's start naming some guys around him that, you would put over him. Cup's older. Jameson Williams and Christian Watson, obviously less accomplished. Drake London's younger. Those guys are all in front of him. George Pickens is younger, right? Maybe there's a couple of guys I could kind of nitpick in there about, should we be elevating them over a guy that's like a top, it's top 10% yards per route run guy. It's Drake London, Adams, Metcalf, Higgins, right? All those guys, I think, belong above him on a production and age perspective, right? I think their blends are better. So I come back to Deebo and I'm like, all right, is he really the number one on his team? They're pretty close. Ayuk and Deebo are pretty close. Yeah, it's Deebo 20, 25 for Ayuk. And I come back to this thinking like, man, I'm kind of tepid on Deebo, right? I could see a scenario where I'm kind of buying low. The question is this that scenario? Well, I think the pivot that I would say to that is it probably is a buy low, right? Because if you think about it, all three of these players are probably guys you're not going to build around next year, right? They're probably not solutions to your 2023 problems. And the second, you know, that's fine. My concern about the second, it's probably an early second. So, but I think if you think about that second kind of in the range with which that second would exist in a startup draft, right? Where would that second be? It's going to be somewhere around pick 100, something like that. Debo's pick 50 right now or thereabouts, right? So you're thinking, all right, you got Shark, McKinnon and Moore, and you're adding them to pick basically, 110, whatever, 100, 110. You know, do you take that for a top 50 guy? I think you do, right? So my answer to this is Debo. I understand why the trade was made. This is probably an example of, are any of these people actually going in your lineup if you're making this trade for a team that's contending, right? That would be my concern. So I take the Debo side, but I sort of get it, but I don't think it's actually a solution for the team trading away Debo. All right, Jared Goff, Amon-Ra St. Brown, it's a little Detroit stack, and a 2024 first for Kenneth Walker and A.J. Brown. I think that Amon-Ra St. Brown and A.J. Brown are probably close enough that they, you know, that they're, they offset each other. You know, so Amon-Ra St. Brown is wide receiver 6 over at Keep Trade Cut. A.J. Brown is number 3. So, and I think they're in basically a tier. If you look over there, I think that's appropriate. I think that they're both deserve to be there. So I think they set each other apart. I think the other question about this is kind of, what do you value? And I'm fascinated by Goff. One of the things with Goff I look at is like, all right, I always think about like, what's a team's outs? And I look at them and I think, you know, do you, you know, you go next year into a situation where you have, 30.6 million dollars, 31.6 the next 2 years of paying Goff. You can basically save 20 of that, you know. So really, what you're paying towards the cap of him next year is really $20 million. That would be the money that you would save by cutting him. Or I think trading him, you might be able to save. We'll say trading him. You might be able to save a little bit more money trading him, but you're still going to be paying him somewhere. Really, what you're paying him is in the $20 to $25 million range next year. Like the cap hits 30, but in reality, it's somewhere between 20 and 25, depending on what your alternative would be. It's 13% of the cap, and then 12% of the cap the next year after that. Like that's frankly a reasonable contract. Like that's cheaper than what you have to pay guys like Carr, guys like some of these other guys. Like when you compare them to that, like it's actually a discount. So I think it's really interesting. It's like almost exactly at the number of over the cap's number, right? Is Jared Goff like a guy that's going to sort of lead you to the promised land, like on his own? Probably not. But honestly, like you've got guys on rookie deals around him. Like you kind of have, like your typical solution you want is to have, you know, a quarterback on a rookie deal that's cheap that you can put around really good talent around him. They've actually hit on some really good talent around him that's cheap. While his contract is like not super additive. You know what I mean? It's kind of a neutral contract, right? So that would be kind of the thing that I would say is like, I'm super interested to see what they'll do. Are they going to draft a guy? Is this an Alex Smith type situation? Right, this could be an Alex Smith Mahomes type situation where they actually draft somebody, but it's like, hey, we're gonna play. You know, we're basically committed to playing Goff this year. And we're gonna use him as kind of a trade asset. I could see a scenario like that. I think the fascinating part about this team is, like, if this team could make the playoffs, I think that's almost that's a really good chance of that happening. Not a really good chance, but there's a solid chance of that happening. You know, are they going to like turn, like this team hasn't been relevant in a long time. Are they going to turn back and say, you know, we want to go and start over again? So I find it fascinating. So we'll see what they do. They've said they're committed to him. I'm not sure I necessarily believe that when I hear it in December. So that brings us back to this. Is basically Kenneth Walker worth You know, what is that return for Kenneth Walker, Jared Goff and Kenneth Walker? I think the answer to the question is Kenneth Walker. Kenneth Walker's number three running back right now. Goff, for way references, like 18. I start looking around and I'm like, all right, how do I feel kind of about Goff in that range? And honestly, there's guys above him that I don't think belong above him. Geno Smith's above him. Like, that's fine. I mean, I think Goff's more insulated for future starts than Geno is. Daniel Jones is above him. I think that's criminal. Pickett's above him. Like, I mean, Pickett and Jared Goff aren't that far apart in age, really. I mean, it's like 3 years. You know, Lance is above him. Watts is above him. Like, that's a different tier, probably. But, I mean, Goff's been good. You know, Goff's been good. And then behind him, it's Mac Jones, Carr, Jordan Love, Ritter, Malik Willis, Russell Wilson, you know. So I start looking at that, and I'm like, you know, like it's surprising how high he is, but in the scheme of the position, it's probably not that super surprising. Like, we would have probably Stafford and Wilson up there with him. But yeah, I think it's an interesting valuation. I'd take Walker because I think he could probably do better than this with better than Goff in a first. I'd probably try and go up at the position if I was gonna do a deal like this. But it's a good avenue to talk about Goff. So give me Kenneth Walker and A.J. Brown, even though, you know, it would kind of pain me to give away Amon-Ra St. Brown in this deal. All right, next up, you've got Clyde Edwards-Helaire for Austin Hooper. This is too tight end. So give me Hooper. I mean, I think he's viable right now, and I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is a replacement player. All right, next up, we've got Rex Burkhead, Courtland Sutton, and a 2023 first for Khalil Herbert, Keenan Allen, and Devonta Smith. The instant reaction that I had to this one is like, okay, I'm not sure why the person's giving away Keenan Allen and Devonta Smith. My assumption is that the pick's pretty high. I think it's a weird construct because, you know, I guess it's interesting because the person getting back Khalil Herbert, that's not really helping a contender. And you're going basically 3 for 2. I think it's a really interesting construct. I'll just put it that way. And then you say, all right, like, is, you know, kind of what's Keenan Allen worth? You know, is Keenan Allen, you know, worth more than Sutton, for example? I think they're probably pretty close. Like, I think I'd probably lean Keenan Allen, but I think Sutton's got a higher range of outcomes, would be sort of the thought that it is, but he's got certainly a lower range of outcomes too. You know, is Devonta Smith kind of worth a first? It kind of depends on where the first is. Like, I tend to lean no on that generally. Like, I don't think you should trade first for non-elite wide receivers at this point of the calendar. And then you've got, like, Rex Burkhead for Khalil Herbert. It kind of feels... You know, Herbert's definitely the better player, but that's not really a place you worry too much about winning or losing a trade. So I think, like, I think the answer is I would want to, if I'm going to get Keenan Allen and Devonta Smith, I think I want to restructure this deal where I'm doing a little bit better some way, shape, or form. I get it, but I think I'd hold the contending first. Or I think I would hold the first and use it to maybe solve a solution in a little bit better way. That would kind of be the my take and my angle to that one. So, but I understand the other side of it. I think Devonta Smith's probably underappreciated. The problem is you can make a similar case for a lot of guys sort of in that range. Terry McLaurin and Evan Ingram for a 2023 first, a 2024 second, and Kelvin Austin the third. So we'll just set Calvin Austin aside because I don't think he's relevant really to this deal. I think this is 1.75 PPR, right? I think that let's just do this. A first for McLaurin and a second for Ingram. I think I'd take the pick side. You're selling Ingram at a high. Like, you almost know you're selling Ingram at a high. He's basically been a route aggregator who's performed a little bit above average on a route run basis. Like, that's basically what a season is, and you're selling him at the peak of that. I take the picks. All right, next up you've got, and again, that's a similar conversation, like McLaurin, Devonta Smith, like all these guys. Like, you could make a similar argument that they're all, you know, that, oh, this guy's, you know, it's kind of like the Derek Carr's undervalued discussion. Right, that you hear some of these NFL guys make, that the bigger media folks make. Okay, he's undervalued. Like, who would you like move below him? Right, and you start having that conversation. You're like, okay, like, are you gonna move? You know, are you gonna start moving? You know, like Deshaun Watson below him? Like, you gotta start Dak Prescott? Like, Kyler Murray? Like, which one of these guys are you gonna start moving below him to say he's a top, you know, 10 guy, whatever? Whatever your argument is, and then all of a sudden, like, you're met with kind of some silence. Like, it's a bit of that at the wide receiver position. You think, okay, well, man, this profile is pretty good to be in, like, you know, in the 20s. And then you're like, well, there's like a lot of good profiles in the 20s. It's kind of the point of the receiver position right now, is that, like, it's pretty flush, right? And you kind of should use that depth, and really you don't pay for something that's not a present premium. That's kind of my take on a lot of the wide receivers sort of in that range. Okay, next up we've got Chris Godwin and Logan Thomas for DJ Moore and Robert Tonyan. I think Tonyan and Thomas are a wash. Maybe slight lean to the Thomas side of that, slight, but again, it's right. That's not a place you pay to try and figure out. It is a premium format for tight ends, but again, that's a coin flip to me. It's going to almost entirely be determined by variance. And then Godwin over Moore. Like, give me Godwin. You know, that's probably, I don't know. Like, I think at least he's sort of in a spot where he can make a difference for you this year. And probably, you know, in the next, like, he's proven that he can be pretty good. DJ Moore has also proven that he's been pretty good, but he's just on a little bit of a stagnant downward trend right now. Give me Godwin, and we could sort of reshuffle the deck in the offseason. Cordarrelle Patterson for Noah Gray. This is a 2 PPR for tight ends, and it's actually a 2 tight end league. So it's super juice premium. I get it, because Noah Gray is probably, like, as crazy as it sounds, he's probably relevant in the format. And if you're sort of dealing a backup running back for a tight end in a super premium format, I get it. The other thing in this format is it's super devalued. It's super juiced up wide receivers. So you can start 4 wide receivers. You have to start 4 wide receivers. You have to start 2 tight ends, 2 running backs, and it's a super flex league. So already you're not getting some of the boost up of the relative running back in the format. So, I think I would take Noah Gray, even though it kind of pains me, but I'm just going to play the format because I think it's right. I think in this format, Gray is, and I'm assuming that the person really has a need at tight end. And in this format, if you have a need at tight end, like, you have to figure out a way to pay for it. This feels like a good depth way to pay for it. All right. Next up here, we've got a 2023 second for Isaiah Pacheco. I'm taking the second. I'm resetting the clock. Pacheco's a fine player. I think he's, like, fun to watch. I don't see a super lucrative fantasy role. Like, they love to throw the ball a ton. They are not using him in a passing game role. They're using McKinnon in a passing game role. Like, give me the second. This has been a profit. Take it and move on. That would sort of be my thought. 2024 third for Adam Thielen. Again, this is a classic example of wide receiver 3, wide receiver 4 is always fixable in a cheap way if you're willing to sort of be cheap about it, right? Thielen was going to overperform this cost, and right, if you don't do this deal unless Thielen's going to go into your lineup and be an upgrade for your lineup, but because he's going to be almost certainly, if you're making this deal, like, you're interested. So I would do this Thielen deal, and I would take the Thielen for the third that's 2 years out, especially because and if I have a need. So that would be my angle towards it. A couple other ones here. We're going past the 10. We'll just add, just as I'm looking down here, I see a couple of ones that I think are relevant. Andy Dalton for a third. That feels fair. I think we had this discussion in the thing. I don't know. I think Dalton's probably got outs for 2023. So I would probably take the premium position at that. You're hoping for, like, a backup running back in that space. Give me Dalton right now would sort of be my thought. And then Baker Mayfield for a second. I think I'd rather have the second, right? I just, again, you're buying Baker at the ceiling of what he's been, right? He hasn't been worth the first in a while. And he's played a really good game where they scored 17 points in a dramatic fashion. Give me the second. I'll reset the clock. We'll figure it out later. All right, that'll do it for this edition. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.